chance of rain and a high of 80. By Saturday night, cooler, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, so it'll begin to level off a bit with a low of 57. By Sunday, partly sunny and a high of 72. No precipitation expected for then. Then by Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 51. Let's take a look at temperatures around the state this hour. In DeKalb, it's cloudy and 74. Chicago at O'Hare Airport, it is 75 degrees at the moment. In Kankakee, it's cloudy and 73. In Macomb right now, we're seeing some light rain, 64 degrees, so quite a bit cooler over there. In Pontiac, cloudy at 75. Decatur and Peoria are both seeing rain at the moment, 75 in Decatur and 68 in Peoria. Springfield, we are getting thunderstorms, and it is 68 degrees. In Mattoon, it's partly sunny and 76. Cloudy in Champaign at Willard Airport and 76 degrees. And right now outside of our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana, we're seeing clouds and 74. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WYLL.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Subaru of Champaign County, featuring the Subaru Impreza, with standard all-wheel drive and an EPA highway rating of 36 mpg, depending on conditions. More information is available at SubaruofChampaign.com or at their location on Route 45 in Savoy.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WYLL. I'm Chris Berube. State lawmakers in Illinois now have less than 2 weeks to pass a law that would allow Illinoisans to carry concealed guns. But some say that Illinois' existing systems of licensing gun owners is already badly broken enough. The state is currently supposed to take away firearm owners' identification cards from criminals, the mentally ill, and people who have restraining orders against them, like those who've been charged with domestic violence. But more than 6,700 revoked cards are still unaccounted for. As Alex Keefe reports, that means their owners may still have their guns and could even buy more if they want to.
It's a hot, sunny afternoon last week when Sergeant Chris Imhoff starts up his unmarked SUV in the parking lot of the Cook County Sheriff's Department in Maywood. He's hunting for revoked firearm owners' identification cards, known as FOIDs.
So the first guy was revoked for some sort of possession of a controlled substance or delivery of a controlled substance.
Imhoff wears jeans and a ball cap with a green shamrock on it. If it weren't for his gun and bulletproof vest, you might not even know he was a cop. But he's heading up a special team whose job it is to go out a couple times a week just to seize FOID cards from people who've had them revoked.
Hey, dude, can you read me he's revoked for?
Revoked for controlled substance trafficking.
If all this seems like overkill, three guys with guns and Kevlar going to get a plastic ID card, Imhoff says there's more to it than that. Somebody trying to buy a gun with a revoked card at a local gun shop where a background check is required would likely get caught. But Imhoff says there's still a lot you can get away with in Illinois without somebody checking whether a FOID is actually valid.
They can get ammunition and they can also get the weapons on a private deal if somebody doesn't check to see if he's revoked. So, I mean, it's important to grab him.
So Imhoff and his team are going door to door to try and track down the nearly 3,000 revoked cards that are still floating around Cook County. And, more importantly, to ask people to hand over their guns.
The left tip, he's supposed to be in possession of a Mossberg shotgun.
There's still a potential that he has a gun, he has his card, but we won't really know until we actually have contact with him.
We roll down a tree-lined street in suburban Melrose Park and pull up to a white house with a chain-link fence. I stay in the car while the three officers walk past a row of bushy green hostas and knock on the front door. After a few minutes of knocking, there's still no answer. So they leave a note telling the person with the revoked card to give them a call. Now, if all this seems a little polite for police work, it's because local law enforcement in Illinois don't actually have the legal authority to seize this person's gun, even if they had their FOID revoked for beating their spouse or being mentally ill.
We're asking them to voluntarily hand their weapons over to us. They really don't have to.
Experts and advocates say this is a problem that pervades Illinois' gun licensing system. Yet it's one of the few things people on both sides of the polarized gun debate seem to agree on, that certain groups of people shouldn't have guns. But in Illinois, there's no uniform mechanism for anyone to go and get them.
Honestly, I would challenge you to find an issue that is more outrageously insane than this one.
Cook County's Democratic Sheriff, Tom Dart, says he launched this gun team back in February when he first learned about the holes in the FOID revocation process.
If the system were to work completely the way it's set up to work, all we got is your card. we could care less about the fact you're sitting on an arsenal of guns, and you clearly shouldn't be within a million yards of a gun.
Dart says the whole process is set up to fail. When the state police initially revoke somebody's FOID card, they simply send a letter in the mail requesting that it be returned. And that's usually it, says Mark Walsh with the Illinois Council Against Handgun Violence.
You're supposed to voluntarily surrender your FOID card.
Like on the honor system?
Pretty much. And that's one of the problems that we have.
If you read Illinois' current laws, Walsh says everything looks fine. People who are judged to be mentally ill, who are convicted of a felony, or have a restraining order against them, they're supposed to have their FOID cards revoked by the state police. But in practice, more than 60% of the revoked cards are still out there. And Walsh says it's impossible to know how many of those people still have their guns because the state does not track firearms.
To say that it's keeping people safe, I would have to say no. I mean, I think we really need to put the time and money into fixing the system.
Both the Cook County Sheriff and the Chicago Police Department now have special teams that hunt down revoked FOID cards and any guns people might be hanging on to. But some of the biggest law enforcement agencies in Illinois say they've never even asked for information about revoked FOIDs, and the Illinois State Police don't offer it up.
Everybody, including the chief, was kind of shocked that we have 187, outstanding.
This is Lieutenant Pat Hoy with the Rockford Police Department, referring to the number of revoked FOID cards from his town that are still out there, according to the state police. Hoy says that's the kind of data local law enforcement should know about.
If Alex Keefe's a badass and now we realize, oh my God, he's got a revoked FOID, which means he probably has guns, and if we suspect he's doing, you know, in narcotics or gang crimes, well, that would be good intelligence information to know.
Nobody I talked to blamed the Illinois State Police for failing to retrieve revoked FOID cards, even though the law says it's their responsibility. But there are just about 25 people working in the FOID office, and they're dealing with a record number of applications, in addition to the thousands of revoked cards. WBEZ repeatedly requested interviews with the person in charge of FOID and with Illinois State Police Director Hiram Grau. The agency refused those requests, but here's Grau talking back in January.
Our issue with the FOID unit is quite frankly funding. We continue to experience retirements. We're manpower-wise in our FOID unit, it's very, very low.
Spokeswoman Monique Bond later added that state police sometimes notify local law enforcement of especially urgent FOID revocations, but not all of them. And Bond says state troopers also work with federal agents to retrieve guns and revoked cards as part of their larger mission to collect illegal firearms. But she says they don't track how often that happens. Still, advocates say the FOID system needs an overhaul before the state lets people carry concealed weapons. Tom Dart, the Cook County Sheriff, is pushing bills in Springfield to give local law enforcement the power to seize guns from people who've been revoked instead of relying on the state police.
Otherwise, what you're going to have is you're going to have individuals who now also have a concealed carry permit in addition to their FOID card. That's been revoked, and no one's getting those guns either, and they're carrying them all around the streets as well. So, this will be complete and total chaos.
Back in the suburbs, Sheriff Dart's gun team has visited a handful of homes in just a couple of hours, but still no luck on getting any revoked FOID cards or any guns. Not from the guy who was revoked for child pornography or from another guy revoked for unlawful use of a weapon. But then Sergeant Chris Imhoff's radio starts to crackle.
What I was just about to tell you is that they went to the one guy's house.
You guys went.
And
number 100.
Oh, there's number 100 right there.
What was it?
That was our 100th gun that they're going to get right now. They're just singing.
But the singing doesn't last long before we're on to the next house, because Imhoff says there are still thousands of revoked FOID cards out there, and who knows how many guns. I'm Alex Keefe.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL. One of the longest labor strikes has finally come to an end. After nearly 10 years, hospitality workers at Chicago's Congress Plaza Hotel have put down the picket signs, but getting back to work might not be that easy. Susie Ann of WBEZ in Chicago has this report.
The The Congress Plaza Hotel sits here on Chicago's famous Michigan Avenue, right across from Grant Park, where big events like the Lollapalooza Music Festival are held. Every day for the past 10 years, at least a few picketers would be marching in front of this hotel in downtown Chicago. Today, the entryway of this grand, vintage-looking hotel is clear.
We had no idea this was coming.
That's Peter Angelkovich, attorney for the hotel. He says management and the union haven't met since last summer.
The ownership or the top manager of the company's reaction is the same as mine, which is where did this come from and why? We're looking at the legal implications and, again, the logistical.
130 workers originally walked out in June of 2003 over wages and health benefits. Unite Here Local 1 didn't want to go on tape for the story, but released a statement. It points out that when workers went on strike, the citywide standard wage for a hotel room attendant was $8.83 an hour. Now it's $16.40, but the union says Congress hotel workers still earn the 2003 standard. It says the hotel continues to treat customers and workers poorly, and it doesn't think a new contract is possible. So it's time to move on. About 60 striking workers already have other jobs. For the rest, the union's made an unconditional offer to return to work. Angelkovich didn't want to disclose the Congress's wage range, but he says one thing is certain.
From a legal standpoint, is if the workers were to come back to work, they're paid under the terms and conditions of the expired contract, which expired in 2002.
He says he doesn't know how many jobs are open at the hotel, and the union doesn't know how many want to go back. For NPR News, I'm Susie Ahn in Chicago.
You're listening to WYLL AM 580.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Meadows Edge at Clark Lindsay, a new community to be located adjacent to Meadowbrook Park on the east side of the Clark Lindsay campus. Meadows Edge will offer villa accommodations for active adults looking for condo-style homes. Learn more at clark-lindsay.com.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 31st of May, 2013. It's the birthday of Walt Whitman, born in West Hills, Long Island, New York, 1819. Worked as a typesetter in a print shop. He was a teacher, a journalist, newspaper editor. Worked as a carpenter, which was his father's trade. And he was living with his mother in Brooklyn when he read an essay by Ralph Waldo Emerson, the poet, which said, "The new United States needed a poet to capture its spirit, and the young Whitman decided he was that poet." He later said, "I was simmering, simmering, simmering. Emerson brought me to a boil." He began work on his collection Leaves of Grass, writing an American epic celebrating the common man, did most of the typesetting for the book himself, made sure the edition would fit in a pocket, paid for the publication of 795 copies out of his own pocket. He was 37 years old. At the beginning, Whitman was criticized for being openly erotic. One reviewer called the book a mass of stupid filth. He kept expanding Leaves of Grass. 146 poems were added for the third edition. Thoreau did not care for his poetry, neither did Willa Cather. She referred to Whitman as that dirty old man. But Ralph Waldo Emerson praised him as the most extraordinary piece of wit and wisdom America has yet contributed. Walt Whitman left New York when his brother was wounded in the Civil War. He walked all the way to Virginia and to Washington, D.C. to serve as a volunteer hospital nurse. And though he was unconventional in his manners and his clothing, Whitman found work as a clerk in the Department of the Interior until one of the brass discovered that he was the man who had written Leaves of Grass, and he was fired. But a friend of Whitman's arranged for him to be transferred to the Attorney General's office, and the friend wrote a pamphlet entitled The Good Gray Poet, which praised Whitman's nobleness of character. And the pamphlet helped to change the average reader's perception of Walt Whitman. Instead of a bawdy nonconformist, he became the good gray poet, the wise old man. He spent the last 20 years of his life revising, expanding Leaves of Grass. The eighth and final edition came out in 1891. Whitman said it was at last complete after 33 years of hackling at it, all times and moods of my life, fair weather and foul, all parts of the land and peace and war, young and old. Here's a poem for today by Walt Whitman, Section 5 of Crossing Brooklyn Ferry. What is it then between us? What is the count of the scores or hundreds of years between us? Whatever it is, it avails not. Distance avails not, and place avails not. I, too, lived. Brooklyn of ample hills was mine. I, too, walked the streets of Manhattan Island and bathed in the waters around it. I, too, felt the curious, abrupt questioning stir within me. In the day, among crowds of people, sometimes they came upon me in my